Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here until 11, as usual, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And yes, we are also broadcasting on the old Facebooks there. If you want to go to the Computer Talk with Tab listener network and join us, you can see a couple of pasty white computer geeks here in the studio. And of course, we're on YouTube as well now.
Woohoo.
Simulcasting. Remember when simulcasting was a thing on our old TVs?
Oh, right.
When we had the old tinfoil on the rabbit ears? Well, we're doing that via the interwebs. We're simulcasting there. You can watch us there as well. But as usual and customary, we have technology news for you guys. And what do you want to bring up there, Dennis?
Well, I think we have to bring up the elephant in the room.
Yes.
Yesterday. Mm-hmm. There was a great anniversary in the world of computing.
Okay.
Microsoft turned 50 years old.
50?
Yesterday.
Wow. It just seems like yesterday that they were crashing computers.
And they still are.
Oh, my goodness. So in honor of Microsoft turning 50, we wanted to mark the occasion with one of our favorite tunes that is at least 30 years old. Take it away, Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. Happy birthday, Microsoft. So, we had to mark it with a little bit of the Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie for you. I hadn't played that in a while, and believe it or not, it's still very, 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 very much the same as it ever was.
Yeah.
As the Talking Heads used to say. What else you got there, Dennis, you want to bring up?
Well, we have a kind of a revelation from an AI engine.
Yes.
It's not ChatGPT. It's not one of the big ones we hear about, but all right, it is an AI engine and people have been using it. Okay.
Yeah.
It happens that the people who run this thing had a database of some of the results of what people were generating, and it was left open on the internet, unencrypted. People could just come in and look and see what stuff people were generating with this
with
thing.
With this AI.
And it's not pretty.
The FBI might be interested.
Yeah, FBI, Interpol, a whole bunch of other countries' intelligence and law enforcement might be interested in some of these results.
Go get them. Yeah, it's pretty crazy what AI is being used for. But again, that's always
the internet. It's the internet. And as soon as anything becomes available, it's a dive to the bottom of humanity.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Very sad.
All right. So we'll put that story up there for you to read and weep. In other news, Claude.
Claude.
It's a learning mode AI type of tool that you use in the old school systems. And basically, it'll prompt students to answer their own questions rather than having it answer it for you. So it's an AI where lots of these kids are using AI to answer the questions and do their work for them. But now it's saying, you know what? Maybe you should try to answer this yourself. which is obviously, we're going to have to do this because we talk about the fallout, right, of what AI is going to be in this generation. You talk about the fallout of the tablet generation, the cell phone generation, all these screens. Now, on top of that, these kids are not even figuring out the information for themselves. I mean, when I had to write a paper on the sperm whale when I was in middle school, I still remember having to do that, sitting there in a library, opening the book and reading about the sperm whale and having to write it. And now basically in 2 seconds, I could do it between breaks. I could have an entire thing written for me about the sperm whale in AI and you wouldn't even know it. And so, of course, Claude is saying, you know, maybe you should try to answer this question yourself.
Oh.
So I'm not sure if that's going to change much or help much, but we'll put a link up there to this little story where even the AI is realizing it may not be as healthy for our culture as
how nice of the AI to recognize that.
Yeah, it is nice. That self-awareness is – uh-oh. No, just kidding. in other news, what do you have?
Well, let's see. We have kind of a public service announcement for people here in Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Are their electricity bills going down?
Well, this doesn't concern bills except for the bills themselves in electronic format.
All right.
If you catch my drift.
Not yet.
there was some kind of incursion in Avangrid and CNG Systems.
Who are those guys?
Well, they're gas companies here in Connecticut. Okay. They've let people know that their systems were breached and their customers' billing information for some customers may have been exposed.
Ah.
So they're warning people, you know, you might get scammed.
Right.
And we all know that for many years, there's been an ongoing scam where people will try to present themselves as working for, you know, the gas company.
Right.
Sometimes they even show up at your door
and
they want to mess with things. And they're really just thieves trying to get into your house.
They want
to
look at your pipes.
But, you know, this is just another piling on of that because it's going to give the bad guys yet another avenue to get into your good graces. And
well, they're going to bring possibly an invoice that they're going to have your account number on. They're going to have your everything. Here's your last payment.
Right. They're going to have all that financial and, you know, personal information, and they can just make themselves appear even more genuine.
Yeah. So again, if you have anybody come into your house, anybody calling your house that says they're from a company, don't let them in.
Yep.
Call yourself, get confirmation, because you just can't trust anybody anymore these days. The days of leaving your doors open are gone. Mm. I don't think our front door lock even worked where I grew up in Windsor. Nowadays, it's like you got to lock everything. And of course, your digital life is just as vulnerable. All right, so we're going to we got a bunch of calls. So Peter, Kathy, and Jeff, hang on. We're going to get to your calls after this quick break. One line open for you, 860-522-9842. Happy birthday. All right, we are back. And let's see if we can help you guys out. Let's see who's been online the longest. We're going to go to Peter in Canton first. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Great show, of course.
Thanks. Thank you.
To celebrate the 50 years, I just bought an HP desktop computer.
Oh,
and
nice.
When I logged in, it forces you to create a Microsoft account.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I we had an existing one for my son, and instead of setting up a new one, I just used his, and now it's labeled everything in his name.
Yes.
Is there a way to delete it and then start over? I was hoping I didn't have to set up an account at all, but it forces you to do it when you, start the whole process.
You can create, now that you're in the computer, With the Microsoft account, you can create a local account on the computer, a new local account. We can provide an article about how to set that up. But once you start using that, make sure that you set it up as an administrator so that you don't, you won't lose control of the computer. But now that you've got that, then you'd be able to remove the other account from the computer.
Okay. Yeah, I tried a couple of YouTubes and hit the run command. They gave a couple things, but it just wouldn't overwrite it. It just keeps
Well, you're not going to overwrite the account. Mm-hmm. That isn't what's going to happen.
Nope.
What's going to happen is you're going to create a new local account, which is its own thing and doesn't have any relationship to anybody else's accounts. Then you log out of the Microsoft account, log in with the new local account, start using that from then on, and then, you know, you can either leave the Microsoft account like attached to the computer in case you ever need to get in as a backdoor.
Okay.
Once in a while, there might be something wrong with your own local account and you need another one to get in. Or you can remove it. I mean, it's up to you to decide whether you want to leave the account attached.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is you're just setting up another account, and then you're going to use that one going forward, and the other one's just going to kind of be dormant on the computer if you leave it there. Or you can remove it.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why they force you to create this thing and not just... You just go and do what you need to do.
Number one, they just want information about you, because when you're logged in with their account, it transmits stuff to Redmond and they know what you're doing.
Yeah.
The other thing is it looks like eventually Windows is going to become a subscription product and you are going to need to log in with one of their online accounts in order to even use the computer at all. It may come point where it ceases to operate if there is no connection to a Microsoft account, because there's a subscription attached, and the subscription has to be live. You have to pay for it.
And we can only hope Android by that time is more ubiquitous.
I'm not saying that that is what they're going to do. It just seems to be where they're going with everything that they're doing over the past 15 years or so.
Well, as soon as you create the account, it automatically sends you either a personal or a family plan subscription for Office.
Oh, yeah. They're going to start marketing right away. Who is this Peter guy? Well, I bet you he needs to do, I bet you he needs to write a Word document. Let's see if we can rent him a typewriter.
Right. And then I know you guys have other calls, but one last question. They have McAfee installed, but I always thought Defender was enough.
It is.
So you have a – oh, it is. Okay.
Because
they have a little option that says, do you want Windows Defender to periodically do a you know, a little scan while McAfee does the heavy lifting? Is that kind of the optimal or just
– No. That's a deal with HP. It has nothing to do with Microsoft. That's HP getting some sort of money to provide McAfee or McAfee on your system.
Okay.
So you can get rid of that.
Okay. Just run Defender then.
Just run Defender, but also configure OpenDNS.
Right. I've already got that set up with the router.
So nice. All right.
So.
And that's the glory of
it.
Once you've
set
it up.
You're welcome.
It doesn't matter what you've got after that. You can change devices. You can get new ones. You can have people visit your house, and just all applies to that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Peter. All right. Let's move on to who we're going to go to next. Let's go to Kathy in Southington. What's going on, Kathy?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have been struggling for a week with something, and I'm hoping you can help me out. So my goal, and no judgment, please, is to be able to watch the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
It seems every year this gets to be more and more of a struggle. So can I tell you what I've done so far?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. So we own our own modem. We have Cox Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we try to do, because MLB doesn't help at all, because most of the games are blacked out.
Yeah.
So our option, as far as the only one I can tell really, is to buy the Gotham app, which is the YES Network.
Right.
And if you live in Connecticut or New York or a very limited number of states, you can get the Gotham app.
Yeah.
Well, my modem is telling Gotham that we live in Rhode Island.
Yep.
My IP address is Rhode Island, so Gotham will not sell me their app.
All right.
So I went back and forth with Cox and Motorola, and nobody wants to help me.
So we're going to have you hang on, Kathy. Modern problems. This is a great example of modern problems. We're going to put you on hold because we have a hard break here, and we'll see if we can help you out.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much.
And you hang on too, Jeff. All right. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. All sorts of birthdays happening.
Yeah.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're out with Kathy in Southington trying to watch her Yankees. But the Cox folks keep giving her an IP address that's out of Rhode Island. And Gotham, the app, is like, no Yankee for you, right?
Yes, unfortunately.
All right, so maybe an idea here is to kind of circumvent Cox altogether and see if you can do it through your smartphone. Have you tried the app on your smartphone? Can you cast the app through your smartphone while you're...
Oh, it's just I didn't think of that. Yeah. Okay, that's an idea.
It's an idea, but of course, if your smartphone's on the Wi-Fi, it'll still think it's from Rhode Island. But if
the phone itself, you know, has GPS in it.
Right, and might be smarter.
The app may pick that up in addition and say, what do I trust, the IP address or what the phone's physically telling me?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
We think the folks at Cox don't want to fix it because they want you to subscribe to YES through their expensive cable package.
But
as far as
I'm concerned, it's legally their responsibility to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't want to, they're just not going to do it. And I don't know any way to make them do it.
And a VPN.
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry, they told me that if I get their panoramic modem, which I have to pay for because I own my own modem right now, they told me that would get me the correct IP address.
Well, that makes absolutely no sense.
None.
Okay.
No.
So they're fibbing.
Is it? Yeah, they're fibbing.
Well, the birthday.
That whole word panoramic doesn't have anything to do with networks at all.
No, or the IP that they receive.
Well, it just has no bearing on networking in any way.
So that's kind of that's baloney. The other thing, because basically you would get it and it still wouldn't work, and they'd be like, oh, we thought it would. You can try VPNing too, but I suspect Gotham app is smart enough to know it's connecting via VPN. However, you could try it within the modem itself, depending on how smart your firewall is. You can try to establish a VPN to whichever state you think won't be blacked out so that Gotham thinks you're looking at the program from a different state, right? And so if you connect to South Carolina, you know, Jeff's neck of the woods, and now your IP address is from South Carolina, maybe the Gotham app will be like, all right, no problem. We'll let you watch the Yankees. Well, we don't know why you're watching the Yankees out of South Carolina, but let's go.
If I told it I was in South Carolina, then I could probably actually use MLB because it's not blacked out.
Maybe.
For Connecticut, if you're in South Carolina. Gotham won't work if it's if I'm in South Carolina, actually. It's a very limited number of northeastern states.
Okay.
Okay.
So try it. See if you can configure the VPN, but I think just casting might be the easiest thing to do.
I'll certainly try that first. Mm. Is there a VPN you recommend? Do you recommend VPNs anyway?
We do recommend VPNs anyway when you are doing things that need to be protected, like, you know, going online and checking your 401k and being like, falling over and then getting back up and taking a peek at it. You want to be in a secure connection. We wouldn't recommend you run it every day, all the time. It's going to impact your performance.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's something you can do to try to get around these things. However, these apps are getting smart enough to realize they're within a VPN, but if the VPN is coming from the firewall, they may not realize it versus coming from the device.
All right, what do you mean by coming from the firewall?
You would configure the VPN connection from within your firewall, which is a little more difficult to do than just doing it from within a computer. Not that it's impossible. It's just not. It's like next level.
And the firewall itself needs to have the capability of doing that.
Right.
Not all consumer firewalls will do it.
And the reason I want you to do it on a firewall is because I think the app will sniff out the VPN. But it may not sniff it out if it's getting it from the firewall.
Is there something I can watch or get a tutorial for how to do that I end up having to do that?
Yeah, so you could use the old Googles and Google adding a VPN to my X firewall, whatever your firewall is.
You'd have to look it up for the make and model of firewall you've got.
Not your modem.
Okay. How do I know? The firewall on my modem. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unless your modem is a firewall.
It might be both, yeah. Which, you know, whatever is the access point that your internet service is going in and out of is going to be the thing that needs to be configured to handle the VPN connection.
Right. So from the cable line, you're going to go into a modem, most likely, that you say you own, is what you said.
Right.
From there, you might go to a firewall, which will be your access point, your wireless service that you've configured as your own private firewall. If you got your own modem, I suspect you have your own firewall. Now, if the modem is both a firewall and a modem, you would do it from within that. Do you know how to configure your devices? Do you have, what's your gateway IP address, Kathy?
It's a Motorola Aeris surfboard. I've been able to log into it on my computer, but I don't know what sort of things to look at or change, or I don't know what to do once I'm in there.
Yeah. Do you have any other device besides that?
I have a router.
That's it.
There you go.
That's your firewall. That's your firewall. I should have said router too. I don't know why I didn't. But that's your device. Okay. Find out how to configure it. There it is.
Okay, I want to configure my router.
Mm. A lot of the Netgear models will do VPN, but you can't guarantee that.
Right. See what you got there, Kathy. That may be a way. And then choose some state that you think it'll work in. A lot of times the VPNs will tell you where you can go ahead and configure it too, where you're going to pop out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I might be calling you back.
That's what we're here for, Kathy.
Yeah. The router, but yeah. All right. Fantastic. Thank you. Appreciate your help, guys.
Our pleasure.
Have a great day.
You too. All right. So yeah, firewall, router. They're not really synonymous, but they are in this case.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our friend Jeff in South Carolina. Jeff, how are you doing?
Okay. You?
Good. Good. What can we do for you?
Yeah. I got two systems I'm trying to put together. One is GC, and the other one is CH. And I want to put them in the same room and network them. So I guess they're going to work against one another if I do that.
We need more information, Jeff. What's a GC?
Gamecock.
Game.
And the other is a Connecticut Huskies.
See, I never get his humor. We're going to crush you, Jeff. You know that, right? Both Dennis and I are looking at each other like, what is he talking about? Yes.
What is he talking about? What is he drinking this morning?
Well, we want whatever you're having. It'll be, we'll both be watching it while drinking a nice bourbon, I'm sure. But yeah, good luck. Good luck to you guys. You're going to need it.
Yeah.
You're going to need it, man.
Hey, did you watch UConn? Did you watch UConn dismantle UCLA last night?
Oh, God. Yes, I did. I watched as much as I could.
Yeah. So what do you think your chances are, Jeff?
Yeah. I think they're pretty good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, I would love to see a good game.
Positive.
Yeah. Anybody up here in Connecticut, while we like to win, I would like to see a game that's worth watching.
Yeah.
So let's hope it's a competitive game like the Connecticut Florida game was. That was a game worth watching.
Yeah. I was there
No, I didn't go to that game when Connecticut came and decimated the Gamecocks. I was watching them. I was like, oh, God. Oh, well.
Well, good luck to you.
Made it to the championship. That's the ultimate goal.
Right. You said they would. I remember you predicting it.
Mm-hmm.
On this show.
Well. Yeah, I remember. You know, that's why I had to call you this morning.
Well, it's always good chatting with you, Jeff.
I was driving around looking at yard sales, and I said, what acronym can I put together to throw them off a little bit? Okay, GC.
Oh yeah, you did it. We're like, what is Jeff talking about? Well, good luck with the yard sale. I hope you find a treasure, and
I do have a question.
Oh, sure.
I got two systems, two CPUs. I want to put them in the same room and connect them together. I know you used to be able to if you had multiple software programs on, like if you had 10 and 9, or was it back in the day when you had 8 and 10 or something like that?
Yeah.
Is there any way to connect both of those together? Like when I go in there, I say, okay, I don't want to get on this CPU. I'd rather get on the other CPU.
When you say connected together, are you looking for a KVM? Are you looking for like a KVM switch where you're just sharing a monitor, keyboard, and mouse, and you just push a button to switch between the two? Or are you looking to get access to the data of the other?
Well, basically, you just switch.
Yeah.
I guess a KVM.
Yeah, KVM.
That's what it's called, KVM.
Yep. Yeah, go to Staples and you're looking for a KVM switch. You're going to have a monitor, keyboard, and mouse connected to that box, which is then connected to with a bunch of cables each of the other computers. And you push an A and a B and you're there.
Are those KVM switches expensive?
No. They're I want to say maybe in the $30 range, but we'll put a link to find
one. Yeah, 30 to 40.
Oh, okay. So the Gamecocks Tigers can win by a couple points. That would be good. All right.
That would be a good game.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. Right. I'm just going to hate that the season be over. I guess I'll start watching the WNBA.
There you go. Yeah, and I guess
there's... But you guys, y'all keep up the good work.
We'll try, Jeff. Thank you. You too.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
He got us.
He always does. He always gets us. All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. Yep. People are listening to us while they're looking for treasures in South Carolina. We appreciate that. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app. That's how Jeff's listening to us, right?
Yeah.
He's got the Odyssey app going. You download the Odyssey app. You subscribe to Computer Talk with Tab. It's that easy. And you'll have access to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of computer talk. And, we can even put you to sleep. I was talking to one of our former employees who was listening to us at 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, what are you doing? Him and his fiance were listening to us. I'm like, all right, I guess that can put you to sleep. So you can do that too. But we're here for you guys. Feel free to get online. We'll be right back. All right. We're back. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And let's go to Jack in Hartford next. What's happening, Jack?
Good morning, man. It's an honor to talk to the people on the best radio show in Connecticut.
Well, thank you for saying that.
We appreciate it, but the jury's out. I think we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Hey, the reason I called, I've been using Google Docs for years, but infrequently. I went on it the other day, and I was told that the capacity of the system is full. But if I spent some money, they'd release and give me more capacity. Is there another system that you guys would recommend?
Well,
a replacement for Google Docs
as a storage repository. Or a replacement for using
editing your
create memos and spreadsheets, stuff like that.
You can use Microsoft. Microsoft has Office Online.
Oh, okay.
You just go to office.com.
Yeah, they're going to charge
you. Is there a fee for that?
Well, there is a free level of service and a free amount of storage, just same the way there is with Google.
Yeah.
But now you're just expanding that because now you're going to have two of these free little repositories instead of just the one.
Right. Or you can delete.
Okay.
Or you can delete the others and move them all to Office.
Yeah. Free up some space in your Google Docs. You know, see if that works. But yeah, they're gonna keep shrinking it and shrinking it. Eventually, you're gonna have to just pay for the storage. The free is just it's just basically how they got you hooked on crack, right?
Of course,
yeah,
of course. But at least I can postpone the inevitable, perhaps with Microsoft.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah,
okay. Well, actually, with Google, he gets 15 gigabytes free.
15 whole gigs?
Yeah.
Oh.
With Office, he only gets 5 free.
Oh, my. 5 gigs.
Yeah. So I don't know about that.
Remember the days of terabytes? Literally. They were free terabytes.
Yeah. There were.
All right. If I were to bite the bullet and buy a package, what would you recommend? Still Microsoft Office?
Well, again, it comes down to the tool you use. So if you've been using Google Docs forever, I would tell you to use the thing you use all the time. But if you're familiar with the Microsoft products, then yes, we would recommend Microsoft. We really don't have many choices. That's our we're Microsoft folks through and through. That's what our clients use. There are people who use both, which is even crazier. They have subscriptions to both. But most cases, it's Microsoft.
Okay. Bottom line, bite the bullet. Got it.
Yeah, if you want to be ready to go.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks so much.
All right, Jack. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank
right, bye-bye.
You.
Bye. Biting the bullet. It sounds awful.
I know.
Ooh. Bite a bullet.
Not very appetizing.
No. The old days of just buying a computer and then buying the software as a tool to actually use on your computer and then not have it cost you anything else to go ahead and write your manuscript are gone. Now Microsoft wants to have you put it in their cloud. And they promised not to read the manuscript and train their AI on it.
Oh, they would never do that.
No, that won't happen. And then they promised to bill you on a regular basis. And heck, with the new commerce experience that we're using for our clients, if you don't have them sign up for an annual subscription, right? Here's the way Microsoft kind of gets you, right? So let's say you're an accounting firm and you have 30 people in your accounting firm and you've now signed up for the new commerce experience of Microsoft. You've got 30 subscriptions to Microsoft Small Business Edition, the standard edition. It's $150 a user. And then Bob, your prize accountant, moves to a different firm. Well, what are you going to do? Well, Microsoft says you can't change the subscription. You still got to pay for Bob's account, right? And now Bob's going to go to a new firm. And guess where Bob's going to get? Another Microsoft account.
Right.
So now Microsoft gets two payments for Bob. And then let's find out Bob, Bob's there for 3 months and doesn't work out and they fire Bob. Well, of course, they need to keep information for Bob there in case they didn't want to miss any communications or email. So now the second accounting firm has an account for Bob and Bob goes to the third accounting. And now Microsoft's got three subscriptions for Bob going. Right. This is how this is all working with this new commerce experience. You can't even cancel, right? The only time you can cancel is when the annual renewal comes up.
Right.
And if you forget to do that,
then you're stuck for another year for all those seats.
You're paying for Bob, and he's not even there anymore. On top of that, you get to back up Bob's data because Microsoft does not back up your Microsoft 365 data. They just provide the service.
Mm-hmm.
They do not provide the backup and disaster recovery if Betty, who logs in as Bob, deletes all of Bob's emails. And what are you going to do? Microsoft's going to say, hey, we thought Betty wanted to do that. We don't have any backup of that. Hope you get a backup and you can restore it. And so you got to pay a monthly subscription to backup the cloud. But in the old days, you just had the Office suite on Bob's computer and you would just turn Bob's computer on. but not anymore. It's crazy. But that's what we're dealing with business and all the added cost. Then you got to, on top of that, you have to secure the Microsoft 360 tenant using an MDR technology to watch for identity to make sure nobody's logging in.
Yeah,
as Bob.
That too.
And then you also have to run security awareness training so that nobody tricks somebody who's logging in as Bob with a fake fish email and steals your business email compromise type of thing going on there. So you got a security awareness training has to be going. Oh, wait. And then you got to pay for email filtering so that you don't have any garbage coming at you and links coming into those emails, so that if they did link on it, the Microsoft product would, of course, you know, in ransomware your entire organization. So how many things did I talk about? So you're paying for the subscription. You're paying for a subscription to back it up. You're paying a subscription to have security awareness training. You're paying a subscription for email security. You're paying a subscription for security awareness training.
You're paying subscriptions for employees that left.
Right.
That you need to retain for the rest of the year.
Have we improved things, Dennis?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
You got to pay for a subscription for vulnerability scanning to make sure you're patching Microsoft, because there's all sorts of vulnerabilities and thus in all sorts of software, and Microsoft's patches don't always work, so you got to force the patches to come down. Also, that Bob can write a letter to try to get an account for your accounting firm so right. that you can do their taxes. Happy birthday, Microsoft. I don't know. It's gotten nutty. In other news, as we wait for your calls, Wikipedia. Now, the line here is Wikipedia is struggling. That's nothing new, right? When you go on Wikipedia, you always see them begging for money. Please send us a couple dollars. But poor Wikipedia is just getting hammered by voracious AI bot crawlers. So the Wikipedia Foundation is getting pummeled, which is basically causing 50% of the bandwidth that's in use these days since January 2024 is all AI bots. So they're literally getting a denial of service attack from AI bots who are trying to read the content so they can be trained. And it keeps you and I, if we really want to go to Wikipedia for information, getting a slow Wikipedia. And if you Google it anyways, you're only going to get an AI summary of what Wikipedia was going to get you anyways, and you're not even going to land on the Wikipedia site, so you can't even get the beg for money from Wikipedia. That's not going to work out so well for Wikipedia. So there's we talked about this in Brian's when I was on Tech Tuesday. Basically, your site, you can actually put a little text in there that kind of says, "Don't scrape me." And the AIs are going around it. They don't even care.
Yeah, of course. That's the robots.txt file that often is ignored.
And, of course, where is it all being scraped from? China.
Yeah.
So we'll put this link up here for you. But it's odd to see what's going on here. These bots are just scooping up this information, scraping it and scraping it and scraping it. And, of course, we can't even use it. So welcome to the modern age. Anything you want to bring up, Dennis, before the top of the hour?
Oh, I wanted to talk about the Oracle breach.
Yes, that didn't happen.
That didn't happen, right?
That might have happened.
Well, finally, after resisting doing so for, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Oracle finally admitted there was a breach.
Oh, you do tell.
But.
A breach of their cloud, by the way.
Yes. It's in legacy systems that haven't actually been used in 8 years.
Why would they have legacy systems made available on the cloud to be breached?
Now you're asking questions.
Ah.
Okay. Now you just,
It's old. It's old stuff.
It's just old stuff. But wait a minute.
This could be my health information?
It's Gen 1 virtual machines as opposed to Gen 2 virtual machines.
Well, they probably shouldn't have kept them up.
Well, yeah.
And I'm sure we'll hear the full extent when Maine tells us. Thanks, Maine.
I've been watching the Maine AG's office website for an announcement about Oracle.
All right. Well, we'll see what that has to bring. We're going to be here for another hour, guys. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open. Keep Carolyn busy. We'll be right back.